Everybody that is here tonight, and also those that are listening on the website, we have a tremendous amount of people that are logging on, and this is our Wednesday evening round table. I guess you could call it round table. It's getting round. It's getting rounder.
Oval.
I'm here with Pastor Sam on my right and Pastor Tim on my left. We're just drinking a little bit of holy water, getting a little Holy Ghost drunk, I guess you want to call it. But I want to first of all thank all of our listeners out there. We really appreciate you supporting us by logging on. We will ask if you could support us financially. That would help.
We'll by send hitting, some holy water.
But yeah, some natural spring. On that PayPal button. So don't forget to hit that PayPal button. And tonight, we're going to kind of reiterate. Got it almost pretty close, huh?
Getting there.
Reiterate from Sunday. We feel that after Sunday's messages, Wednesday is a good night to kind of bring a key point in the message. And one of the key points of the message was, you know, how do you know if you're a son of God or a child of God? And a lot of people think that because they accepted, you know, the religion,
or the story,
you know,
or
the story, accepted Jesus at the altar or what have you. And I want to talk about Jesus. I've been burning on my heart about how much division's going on. And, you know, you look around and the world is wanting unity and bringing peace and unity. And you know, in my experience, in my transformation, I had an appointment or a meeting with Jesus, and I seen him and spoke to him direct. And one of the things that he said was, go back down and tell them about my Father. And it really didn't hit me until later on when I finally got my bearings together and realized what happened, because, you know, I was one individual minding my own business, and then all of a sudden, three earthly days later, I'm completely transformed into another being, so to say, and I thought I lost my mind. I thought I went crazy, realizing I didn't go crazy, and then I pondered about all that was happening, and then I met these two guys, and that was an awesome testimony in itself. But with Jesus, and the world has to understand, he is a prophet of God who proclaims to be the Son of God. And I want all of us to understand that we are all sons and daughters of God. We're all children of God. And he was made a child of God. And so Sunday, you know, my question is, how do you know if you're a son of God? How do you know if you're a child of God? With Jesus, he was a prophet, just like many other prophets that are out there through different cultures that are proclaiming religion as, you know, and directing them to follow the prophet to worship God. Well, I don't want anyone to really follow any prophet. I want you to have a personal relationship with God the Father. But you'll hear us talk about Jesus because of his stories and his testimonies. And so I guess that because that's what we're familiar with.
I just wanted to say he was the first one to become a son, because none of the other prophets out there ever claimed that they had a relationship to become a son.
And that's a good point, because, you know, you know, there are prophets, and there were many prophets, but the Jesus was the prophet which took it to the next level.
Correct. Yeah.
To become a son of God. And I want us all to understand that we all are children of God, and we all have to enter in to be a son of God and enter in to be a child of God. And one of the questions, how do you know if you entered in? How do you know? How do you know? Only because you confess that you're a Christian, or you confess that you're a follower, or you confess, that doesn't make you a child of God. This is really a serious point, because There's a scripture verse, and maybe Sam can try to find it on Mr. Google, the scripture verse, and we can look it up in the Bible or what have you. But there was a group that went to judgment, because after we die, there is a judgment. Okay, I know this for a fact. We're gonna stand before God, our Creator, and the council, and we're gonna be judged based on our conduct or our transformation, actually.
Our transformation,
because we are to be changed into. We come from a sin nature, and we have a father that we have to renounce, which is the father of lies, Satan, and you know, the sin nature, darkness, to be transferred over into the divine light or the divine nature, to be able to be a child of God and have our holy God Father, our Father, which is, you know, the creator of all things. This is true. I mean, it sounds far-fetched in a way if you think about it. Doesn't it, really? I mean, because if you don't see spiritually and you're only looking carnally, it can sound far-fetched. But I'm here to testify that this stuff is so true because my life was divinely changed. If my life wasn't divinely changed and I inherited this position and I'm carnally coming into this position of accepting, you know, this truth carnally, it would be difficult, I think, for me to really, truly, be honestly to believe.
Well, it's like, you know, having two families. It's like you're born into one family, and then you're adopted out to a different family. That is your true family.
And that's probably hard to even accept, too. Those that are out there that are adopted, you know, trying to get along with your biological family or your adoptive family and find your biological family. But all in all, did you find that scripture verse? Okay. Sorry. So, still a little buzz from the water. So, one of the scripture verse was, and I don't know exactly where it is. That's why Sam's going to find it. But it says this: they stood before the judgment. They stood before the council and said, "Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I healed the sick, I cleansed the leper, I raised the dead," or whatever, or I ministered, I fed the poor, or whatever. And he says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Now, obviously, these people thought they were a child of God.
Right.
Because they're serving. "But I did these things in your name. I did all these things in your name." How many people are starting to understand what I'm saying here? It's kind of a rude awakening, to be honest with you. When I read that, I was like freaked out.
Matthew 7:22.
Can you read that, Sam? He's finding it now.
He's probably looking for the different connotation.
Not everyone that said to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Wait a minute. He that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So not everybody is going to enter into heaven, but only those who do the will. This is a good point that I want to bring out, because first of all, we have to find out if we are a child of God. Yeah. Okay? And these people said, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name." Well, how do you know that was the will of the Father? You know, we did it just because they did it in his name or whatever. Well, can you keep reading that?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't lose that scripture. Okay. So go ahead. Finish up.
"Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils?'"
Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils?
"And in your name done many wonderful works."
And in your name did many wonderful works. Now, even signs and wonders and miracles might follow their ministry or follow you or what have you. You know, we're very gracious that God has given us miracles, signs, and wonders through this ministry. But we don't look at them as anything to say, "Oh, I'm a child of God because miracles are following us. You know, I'm a child of God because I saw the, you know, guy's eyes open up," or whatever. We traveled in many nations prior to coming to devote ourselves to America, I guess you could say. We kind of went things backwards. And if you can see the flags around us and stuff like that. But we've seen many, many miracles. Many, many miracles in nations. I mean, miracles that would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up because you didn't think it was possible.
Too much to fill in even a book.
Right.
We've seen a ton of them, but it doesn't make you a child of God.
Exactly right. It doesn't make you a child of God.
Relationship.
It's relationship, and it's also a reverence.
Reverence, yeah.
You know, because who does those miracles anyhow? I mean, God's only using... Well, wait a minute. We don't. let's not go there yet.
We'll go there later.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead, Sam.
And then the Lord says, "And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity."
So God is saying, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity."
You know, I want to make a point real quick about when he says in the beginning that he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, Jesus himself was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in the garden. He just got the news that he had to die for the sins of the world. And he got the cup. And he said, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from before me." He said, "I don't want to go do the will that you're telling me to do. My will is to get the heck out of Dodge." His will was to run and not die. But he said this. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will," which was Jesus' will. He said, "Not my will, but your will, Father, be done." So Jesus had a separate will from the Father. People never heard that before. They don't understand that. Jesus had his will, and the Father had his will, but Jesus had to submit his will to the Father like we do. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Well, we'll touch more on his will and our will, because most of us don't even know if it's God's will or our will anyhow. Obviously, these people here thought they were doing the will of God. Mm-hmm. You would think. Coming to, you know, that place of judgment, and they're over here pleading, But Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That would be an eye-opener to those that are out there that are professing to be a Christian or professing to be someone who wants to be a child of God or a believer of God or something like that.
Yeah, through works.
I don't want to freak you out or anything. I do want you to begin to look at yourself and begin to evaluate why we do what we do. Where is our heart? Are we surrendering to situations? Are our prayers manipulating circumstances? You know, God says, don't go rambling on and on and on with your prayers. It's kind of like vain repetition.
Repetition, yeah.
If you make your request known once, that should be sufficient. God knows what you want well prior to even you going and asking. How many here alone make a lot of prayers? I mean, repetitious prayers, like constantly the same thing over and over. Oh, God, you know, I want this breakthrough. I'm looking for this breakthrough. Help me with this breakthrough. Lord, I'm praying again today for this breakthrough. Can you help me out with this breakthrough? I'll tell you, wait, right now, you're wasting your time. It sounds bad, don't it? Sounds like, well, what the heck should we even pray for? But your relationship, if you're a child of God with confidence and faith,
trust.
You should, yes, you should have that belief. You should know without a shadow of a doubt, saying, look, Lord, maybe I don't quite know you the way I should. Or maybe I don't know you the way I would like to. Or maybe I don't know you the way he does or whatever. But I'm going to know you the best that I could possibly know you. And I'm going to throw this out. God, you know my circumstance. Not my will, but your will be done. Meaning I don't know if this is really the way it's supposed to play out. It's in me. I desire it. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe it's not the time. I don't know. But I'm going to throw all my reasonings down at your feet.
There you go.
I'm going to cast all my imaginations and my desires and my thoughts, because maybe I'm not ready for it yet, or maybe it's not the time. I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't see. I'm going to lay this at your feet and have a nice day.
That's giving up your will.
That's surrendering your will.
It is. It's just.
That's entering into the child of God.
Yeah.
We are talking about the pearl of peace, and it's very important about the pearl of peace. And this is why it's so important to gather with those who have same like mind and same like spirit, so we can strengthen one another up. Because, look, we all fall short of the glory of God. And we also fall short of lack of knowledge. And because of the lack of knowledge, we tend to fail. And then we lead into a belief that we've created and a pattern of belief that we created. Like, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I prophesied in your name. I casted out devils in your name. I did all these things in your name. But he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. What about the working of iniquity? Could it be that you prayed too many times for one thing? Where's your belief? Maybe you had some
Where's the faith?
Right, where's your faith?
Because he says it's by faith in works.
Exactly right, yeah.
And you're saved by faith through grace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is that revelation. It's that knowledge of spiritual knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it takes faith to have that. And that's where I believe the people that he's talking about are falling short, is they don't have that faith and trust, and it becomes a work. It becomes, you know, like, hey, if I say 10 different prayers at the same time, I'm doing a work to God that I'm going to be close to him. I'm going to know him. It has nothing to do with it.
Whatever their reasoning is behind it, it's not being effective in the sense of trusting and believing and understanding the will of God.
Exactly.
Because we don't know the will of God. No one really knows the will of God. It's very difficult as an individual to know the will of God. Now, God might put it on someone else, and they might be able to see your life like a book. You know what I mean? But God robs us from seeing our own book. And I'm going to tell you why he does this. So that we can depend and lean on him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now, you have, and I've been trying to teach us about the anointing. And the anointing is unctions and inspirations those types of feelings that you get when you feel as though that this is the direction that you need. Now, that's a pathway to the Father's will. But you still got to surrender your will because you don't really know when those feelings and unctions and inspirations and all those things are going to come to pass.
Right.
You see?
You know, it's kind of like when you're a child and your father, if you have a good father, says, get in the car, we're going to an amusement park. And you're a child. You don't know how to get there. You just trust your father. He just gets in the car and drives on the way, gets you some food, and have a great day, but you trust your father the whole day. It's like when you're a child, you know, that's the kind of relationship we have. We just trust God to get us there. You know, who knows the path you're going to get there, but you know you're going to get there with God. It's just, it's an incredible journey, and you're always there to trust, and you know, when you get there, you hang out with your dad, you don't leave him, and he's always there for you. So it's the same thing with the Father.
You know, can I make a point?
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, you brought up Noah
mm-hmm.
in the ark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was impressed and inspired to build this ark.
That's the anointing.
And he was obedient to that, mm-hmm. which made him a son of God.
Yes.
Okay. But did he really know what the outcome was going to be fully?
No.
He just was inspired to do this,
right.
And he was obedient to it. And then once everything was done and accomplished, God brought the rain.
Right.
You know, he brought his will on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And what took place is what God inspired him to do, and he was saved by that.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gave him the measurements
to the T, every measurement.
And he may not have given it. You know, your inspirations will come, and they will come at that appointed time. And, you know, the more you allow yourself to come under this, it's almost like exercising, okay? You exercise the gifts that you're given, and they will get more enhanced in your life. You'll begin to see clearer, you'll begin to get here, you'll know those details, okay? But as of right now, we have to bring our listeners into this place of being able to know these details. And one of the things that we spoke about was the Beatitudes, mm-hmm. and how the Beatitudes was that you would see God, you would inherit the
blessed be that you're.
Yeah, can you pull up the Beatitudes? Because there's 3 points in the Beatitudes that I want to highlight, because this was a message that Jesus began to speak. Now, why we bring up Jesus is because he was a prophet who brought himself to a place to become a son of God. And we follow those examples so that we too can bring ourselves to that place of being a son or a daughter of God, a child of God. Yep. How many here just want to be a child of God? Look, I'm going to throw everything away so that I can be a child of God. I could care less about this world right now because it's only going to be a moment. Nothing really goes right, you know. It doesn't seem, you know, and it's getting crazier and crazier. And then, you know, you have to weigh your odds out. What do you got, 50, 80, 60, 70, 100 years? I don't know. But you have eternity. Yeah, a woman just passed away, and she's famous. And
80, Tyler Moore.
Well, I wasn't going to mention any names, but it's all broadcast anyhow. And she was 80 years old, born in 1936. I was like, 1936, man, that's a long time ago. When in reality, it's not really a long time ago, 1936. Right, that was, right. You know, she lived a good life, I would imagine, you know, good 80 years. That's a long time. But, you know, you got eternity.
True.
That's a long, long time, you know, the eternity. It's sometimes hard to fathom, you know.
How long eternity is.
That your spirit's actually going to leave your body and then be out in, you know, the universe in another realm that truly our minds haven't even reached yet. There's no magnifying glass that can get us there yet, you know. But there are realms out there that are beyond comprehension. So, all right, here's the Beatitudes. So what was the first Beatitude?
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Okay, and they will what?
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, so the first Beatitude that I want to enhance is poor in spirit. Humility is probably one of the biggest keys that you want to look within your own life. And I'm going to just kind of narrow it down. First of all, we don't deserve nothing. We got to really grab a hold of that. Everything that we have, everything that was given to us, everything that we earned, even our strength, our, you know, our life, our health, everything that we have that we can possibly say we have is not even ours. We don't deserve anything, really. We don't even deserve life. We don't even deserve redemption, right. Meaning being one of those angels, fallen angels, to be able to have a birthright.
And a relationship with God again.
Yeah, and to come back to earth and have the revelation of knowing who he is. I couldn't imagine being blinded and becoming an atheist, you know, and have this bitterness towards our creator. I mean, that's just insane for me, anyhow, because of what he has done in my life. I mean, he's done some incredible things. So, poor in spirit, humility is a big factor, and it says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So right there they're saying it's yours, the kingdom of heaven. To be a child of God, obviously there's a place that we have to come to. It's almost like an adoption, a new family, a place, a new location, and that's called the kingdom of God. So if you're poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is yours.
Yep.
And that's a good point to lean on.
You know, one thing about the poor in spirit as well, that humility is not trying to figure it out. It's basically saying, you know what, I don't have everything figured out. I'm not, you know, all I can do is trust God.
That's it.
You know, I can't lean under my understanding. I got to lean on God and not try to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the poor in spirit. That's humility. Because if not, you're trying to do it yourself, and it becomes your will.
Yeah, they know they have nothing. They have nothing inside them to offer. It's all him.
It's all him.
That's it.
And I also want our listeners to know that, you know, humility isn't you being a doormat either.
No.
Right. You know, I want to tell you right now, nobody's going to push me around. You know, I'm not going to be a fluff puppy, you know what I'm saying? And just be like, sure, yeah, whatever. No, a pushover. No. That is far from being poor spirit.
But the carnal reasoning makes you feel that that's the way it should be.
Exactly.
Like religion. They have the carnality thing.
Right.
Say, humility is,
just
turn
smack
your
me around.
Keep getting beat up. Turn around.
Here,
take your tunic off.
I want to get robbed, so here, let me just give you my wallets and everything else.
Be a wimp. You know?
I want to pull out my Smith & Wesson. What? But
he was talking to ruffians back there, just so you know, some real rough people. They weren't civilized. They were animals.
Right.
So
barbarians.
So for our listeners, it's good for them to understand the levels of being poor in spirit.
And right.
So,
right.
Well, so blessed are those who mourn. All right, we'll pass that one because that's just comfort. Blessed are the meek, for to heal the land. Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. And they should mercy. Okay. Where's the second one? Oh, okay. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. And clean of heart, I'm going to kind of just leave it simple, is you don't have an agenda. You don't have
manipulation.
Yeah,
ulterior motives.
Alternative motives. I like that one. You know, you basically, you're pure in heart is you want the best for others. You know, you're not trying to push your views or push your ways or, you know, like right now, I might seem like I'm pushing my views and pushing my ways by the love of God and giving this message out and telling people that if they don't hear it, you know, they might trip and fall and hurt themselves or whatever. But at the same time, I don't care if they hear it or not.
So right. We're not going to be hurt.
It's right. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to, like, burn your car or smash your windows out, you know? Yeah. Pure in heart.
We're not marching.
Our pure in heart is kind of like innocent.
Right.
It's just an innocence of life. It's like you love everyone despite what they might be doing. You know, you have mercy. You have grace, you have, you know, forgiveness. It's just, you know, you put your eyes up in heaven and just say, you know, I love the soul, I love the spirit, but I hate the sin nature. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you just still have that sense of love. That's a pure in heart. They will see God. And that's where we want to enter to be able to see God. And then the third part, before
seeing
I go,
God is his will too.
Exactly right. We were going to get to that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'm glad that you brought it out because see, it falls in sequence. First of all, you got to be pure in heart. You got to be humble. You got to be humble. Then you can't have agendas. It's almost like surrendering, you see?
Yeah.
And then as you begin to fall into these three golden keys that were given tonight, when you exercise those things into your life, you can actually say with confidence, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I mean, because we could be judged. I'm sure. I want our listeners to judge me and say, look at this dude, man. No way could he have a relationship with God. Look at him. You know? And I want them because it'll be a sign, a wonder, and a miracle to show you that you can live in the world, be like the world, but yet not be of the world and have a love that's unconditional and full of, you know, grace and mercy. And then the third one that I want to emphasize on is blessed is the peacemaker.
This is important.
They will be called children of God.
They will be called children of God. And that's like the icing on the cake. And what is a peacemaker? And a peacemaker is not one who tries to break up a fight. I'm going to tell you right now. That's not a peacemaker. A peacemaker isn't one that says, you know, can't we just agree to disagree and all that other stuff? No, that is not a peacemaker.
They don't walk on eggshells. It's not that kind of peace.
Yeah.
It's within that pearl of peace.
A peacemaker is one that can see the pearl that is in them and polish that puppy. You know, don't let things rob your peace. Don't let things disturb you. Like, if you're waiting for something and you're doing the vain repetition in prayers and all that stuff because you're, you know, a hot mess and you can't settle yourself down because you have a will and you're not giving it up, but yet you're saying it's God's will, you know. I believe this is all worker of iniquity.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yep. Did the light bulb go on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly,
there you go. Now, I'm hoping that our listeners will have the light bulb go on,
there's no
too.
Internal peace.
Exactly right.
And who cares about the outward peace out here? It's the internal peace.
Exactly,
that's where heaven
right.
is.
Yes.
That's where kingdom of God lives, is inside of your heart.
We want our listeners to understand the importance of this pearl of peace, because if we can get them to understand how important it is to surrender, to be able to come into that place of not basically trying to demand our will by getting upset or discouraged or creating imaginations, and we can really focus on being a peacemaker, we're considered children of God right there. Yep. I think by creating us to be a peacemaker and being a child of God really covers everything. It covers a multitude of sin, and then we don't stand before him where he'll say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe the working of iniquity is not allowing that pearl of peace to shine.
Yeah.
To be worked up. Listen, people take the truth and the gospel and God's relationship as a constant savior. You know, I'm only going to be coming to God when things are troubling me. Hey, you know, God is not all about that. You know,
using somebody.
Exactly right. You know,
I'm going to use them when I'm in trouble. God, besides that, I'm not going to have a relationship.
God is like, listen, you should understand who you are and shake this stuff off because you're an overcomer. You're one that should be rising above the circumstances. Yeah. And why are you belittling yourself down to the earth here? You should be rising above and being overflowing. You're a child of God. You should be sitting on the throne. You should be dictating, and you should be commanding the angels to go forth and, you know, do the will of God and send them out. You know, one of the things that when temptation came, okay, Satan says, cast yourself down, you know, and he's like, listen, you know, the angels, you know, I could call forth all the angels and they could come and save me, you know, but he didn't, you see?
He chose not to.
It's just showing the mindset.
Yeah.
And I believe part of repentance is changing the way you see yourself. If you're going to confess God and that you have become born again, so to say, and you really want to give your life over to God, this is how simple it is. Here's God. Okay. I accept you. Come on in. Just surrender everything and let me take over. Basically, we have to be that child. One of the things Jesus said was, come unto me like a little child. And then Pastor Sam over here says, well, it's like a little kid. You know, daddy says, jump in the car. What do? You trust him.
Right. You don't know where you're going.
You don't ask questions. Maybe you might ask a couple. Hey, where are we going? Don't worry about it. It's good. All right. If you said it was good, I'm going.
All of a sudden, you're at an ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
You know? Not knowing where you're going, but you got the result because you obeyed.
A lot of trust.
That's a lot of trust.
And then... Yeah. You know, normally most of the time good things happen.
Right.
Hope that they don't have a dad that takes them on that picnic trip that never comes back like the little dog. I'm getting yelled at. You can't say that.
This is the parable of the pearls that Pastor was talking about. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I hope those that are listening will actually find this pearl. Mm-hmm. And you will literally sell everything that you have.
Because of the joy that you've received.
Yeah, one of the things that Sam was saying earlier, and that's why we came in a little drunk. he was like, dude, they got to do this, that, and that. You know, and I'm like, I actually released everything I have in God's hands. I said, I really don't own nothing. I mean, if that has to be painted, I'm sure God will have to move on somebody's heart to paint it or something. Or maybe he'll move on mine, but it's not my door anymore. You know, it's like... It's his, so have him paint it. So he'll just have to paint it. You know, you sell all that you have. And that's my point. I basically sold everything that I have, but not physically sold, not materially sold everything I had. I sold it in my heart.
Right.
I sold it in my heart. I sold everything that I have to him, and it brought great peace.
You know, one thing about Pastor Jim here is it's absolutely right. He's given up his rationale, his possessions, his control. Way of thinking and control, and said, you know what? I'm just going to trust God in all things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep trusting him and let his will be done in my life, and I don't care about the results.
You know, when you give up, when you give up control, it says in the Bible that you put the problems under your feet. When you give up everything to God, it becomes his problems. They're not yours anymore. You can't control anything but you in this world. All you can control is you. You can't control anything else. And by giving up control of everything else, all the problems become God's. And you don't have problems anymore. You're everything, like Tim was driving, he was flying back on a plane from Michigan, and the plane starts going crazy. They start
bad
dropping.
Bad turbulence.
People are screaming and crying, and they're panicking, and Tim's over here laughing. He was laughing because he knows that God's in control.
Yep.
He gave up all his possessions. He gave up all his control. And he said, God, you know, let your will be done. But I know it's not my time. So, you know, just laughed. And people around him were amazed at his faith because he wasn't afraid. You know, when you give up control, there's no fear of death. It loses its sting. There's no fear of anything hurting you. God, you know, God said that nothing will by any means hurt you. And if he's for you, no one could be against you. So, you know, you give up control, and the world just surrenders to you, and it surrenders to Christ in you, which is God. You know,
even the forces of nature bow at the feet.
Yeah,
because even like Jesus, he was on the boat, and the waters were all
rustling
and everything. Yep. And you know, I saw you being like Jesus, hey, the Son of God, and everybody was all upset. They're like, we're gonna drown, you know, and Jesus is like, hey, you know, calm the winds, everything will be okay. Who knows if the plane straightened? I don't know. We never got to that part, but eventually
we landed.
We landed.
As long as I say, we landed.
Yeah, so you know, maybe the plane was gonna go crash, and then because of you know your peace and being a child of God caused the plane to land, but we'll never know, right? Until later.
Yeah.
But I'm sure maybe that could be the reason. And so, moving forward, let us learn something tonight. Some of these golden nuggets that we released, that for that to be in your heart, to understand how important it is to protect this pearl of peace and to hold on to it, and you know, and constantly keep it polished, and don't let things trouble you. You know, there was a another verse that came to me and said, you know, pray without ceasing. And when I was learning more to be in the will of God, and I was traveling down my road after conversion, and my fire was like burning, but the knowledge was still being downloaded. And I thought maybe I needed to pray in the Spirit constantly, and I was like, "This is insane."
I remember you praying 24 hours a day. Yeah. I got to stay up and.
We tried. Trust me, we did try. Yeah. We went a little nuts.
We're a little nutty.
we took a little literal.
And then I actually heard a giggle from heaven. You know, as a father looks at a young child and kind of giggled, and I might get a little overwhelmed thinking about this, but. That still small voice came to me and said, you know, it's the desire of your heart. Your heart is a prayer.
Right.
And never lose that desire of your heart. Always keep that hope. Okay. Always keep that desire of hope. And that's praying without ceasing. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I'll tell you what, that makes so much more sense than praying in the Spirit 24 hours a day. We're actually going in, you know, in a corner somewhere and just constantly saying, okay, God, I'm running out of things to pray for. What do I pray for?
Also, when you lay down control, you know, the Bible says that God hardens every heart and softens every heart. You know, we've been out here for services, and it was snowing like crazy. And I would say to the pastor, yo, we got to get this place flat. We're in trouble here. People are coming in 20 minutes. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a guy he hasn't seen in years, goes pulling up in a tractor. He goes, I was just had to come over here and plow your road, plow your driveway. You know, God hardens every heart. So you're going to start seeing people just giving you things and people's hearts being softened towards you. You know, when you're hitting the wall every time hitting the wall, there's something wrong. You know, you're trying to control. You're trying to manipulate. You're trying to use you know, your own control. Control everything, everyone around you. But when you lay it down, you start seeing God move in your life, and it hardens every heart and brings blessings to you that you never expected. You don't worry, like Pastor said, We're walking in, I said, this thing's being painted. He goes, well, God sent somebody to paint it. You know, that's his heart. He just knows that he has no control and God has to do everything. So that's really sold out. That's what we're all hoping for.
We get to a point in our life where we don't want to do anything in vain, you know, because you can look back in your past and say, okay, maybe that was in vain, that was in vain. But you don't want to beat yourself up, but you just want to know that you're pleasing in God's sight. When you have that intimate relationship with him in your heart, and you know that you know that you know out of a confidence that you're doing his will, you know, because you're just laying yourself down and you're not worried about the outcome of the circumstances or how things are going to happen, because you know that your life has already been pre-planned, it's preordained by God. He knows the time when you're born and he knows the time when he's going to take you back. Mm-hmm. And you have to get that inside of you and realize that you don't have to do anything except basically lay at his feet. Lay at his feet and just wait. Wait upon him. Mm-hmm. And he'll move you. He'll move you. He'll inspire you to do things, and you know that's his will.
And everything becomes a blessing. Nothing happens by accident. And everything that you go through, whether good or bad, is a character builder for you. It's all to build you for that next move in your life. It's all to build up your character. And there's no more bad things. It's all blessings. It's all good things. You know, you're trusting God in everything you go through. Whether it looks good or looks bad, the first thought in our heads normally in the world is it's all going to end. But in God, it's always hope. It's always beautiful. It's always a great ending.
You know, another thing too is when you come into the will of God, it takes all judgment out. You can't judge anything, whether it's good, bad, indifferent. There is no more judgment.
That's right.
You know, because even in the Bible, there's an apostle called Paul. He says, I don't even judge myself.
I judge nothing.
Because he came to a revelation of who God is in him, in that relationship with God. And it took judgment out.
He said, I die daily. Yep. I died in my own judgments daily. I just lay it all down and trust God with everything.
And even if it looks, what do you call that, dim.
Yeah.
Okay. God turns all things around for the good to those who love him. I mean, there's a lot of truth. And so I want to, because of time, and we're getting the
5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. So with that being said, I want our listeners to understand how it's so important to follow the ministry, to follow the message that is being said. I believe that we are a new age ministry that has arisen. For these days. I believe God is doing something new. And it's not the patterns of the old ways. And I believe we were raised up for a season like this. There are old denominations out there. There's old doctrine. There's old revelation. There's old truths. And it's not bringing anybody into the real truth of what God is trying to bring today. And I'm talking about being a child of God. I mean, who you have out there that is actually trying to lead you to be a child of God. I mean, rather than giving you these prosperity messages and telling you how, you know, slap God 5 times in the hand and you bless me, you know, and all these other things. You know, there's some crazy stuff out there. And I just want our listeners to really understand the sincerity and the importance that this is a divine ministry that has been raised up in these last days, I want to say, this new age that has arise. And there are people that are suffering and they're longing and desiring to know the truth and how to live free and how to break through circumstances in their life. And, you know, I want to tell everyone that the things that are going to manifest in your life are not going to change. It's just how you're going to approach them. And how you're going to handle them, and what kind of mindset you're going to have, and what kind of heart you're going to have to be able to deal with the situations. When you have individuals like ourselves, and you're embraced and listening constantly about ways of overcoming and handling situations in your lives, and spiritual keys that will you can apply to your heart and actually watch your natures of your carnal nature literally disintegrate and die.
Okay.
And watch a power and a divine nature rise up above
and be born again, truly, really be born again, be amazed of the transformation that will occur. But you can't do it alone. You can't take, sit in your own room and try to have a relationship with God on your own. It just isn't going to happen. You have to be able to have those that have treaded the fields out first and been tried and tested to be able to lead and guide you through it. I mean, they get you there, you know. And we were brought through, and now we're ready to lead and guide others to bring into that place. But to have others with the same like mind and same like spirit to come and give you strength, to come and give you support. You might be in other countries. Well, you can interact through us through the website by emails or whatever. You might be able to contact it, and we'll interact with you. So, I mean, we'll be able to tell you, yes, keep going, or no, you got to change the way you're thinking. And we want to support you that are out there listening, that are around the world through emails or whatever you might be in. Somehow or another, there's ways of contacting us. With that being said, those that are even closer, you might want to try to make it here and build relationships with those here. I know that there are a lot of people on Facebook that are local, that are close. I know that there has been people that are listening that may have came here prior in the past who have tasted and may have ventured out trying to live the life on their own, and they're going through struggles. You might want to consider coming back and embracing yourself under this covering, under this ministry, so that your life will change. I'm putting an invitation out there, you know, for those that might have been here before in the past or what have you. You know, I don't harbor anything. The other pastors don't harbor anything. We don't care. The main thing that we care about is that you become a child of God. Really, I mean, that's where my reward is. My reward is up there in that heavenly place, where if I can come and see your life transformed and have a relationship with our Creator, I mean, how much more can I ask? I mean, that's...
You know, we're not a religion.
No,
we're not a denomination.
Nope.
We are purity of heart to have a relationship with God. That's all we desire.
For you
to be transformed into a child of God by having a relationship with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jesus in the Bible even said, you know, so that we can become one with the Father, just like he was one with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's our whole desire, and that's all we're here for, is to try and give you nuggets, to try to give you information that you can apply in your life so that you too can be changed, mm-hmm. and you too can come into a relationship with God every single day. And that you know that you know that you know that you'll be a child of God. There's a lot of religion out there. There's a lot of denominations. There's a lot of traditions and cultures and everything. Look, you can keep all that. We don't care. All we care about is that you come into a one standing with God in your heart so that you can have eternal life. That's all we care about.
We're like the bandage and the crutch.
Exactly.
To your wound.
To your wound.
We don't preach a seven plan program. We don't, you know, what we preach here is just a total surrender. You throw your hands up and you say, look, I give up. I give up. I've tried my way, and my way's not working. I have no peace. I have no joy. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. There's a total surrender to just say to God, I give up. I want you to show me your will in my life. I want you to show me you in my life. That's what we preach, you know, and every message we give you is truth that chips away the old you, chips away, you know, your will that put you in bondage in the first place. You know, the very thoughts of the world, the patterns of this world, or will put you in bondage in the first place. And we chip those away with every message. Every message comes with a hammer and a chisel and just knocks a piece of the old thing off you. And then as slowly you start being metamorphosized into like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You know, it goes into cocoon, and the cocoon is where it gets basted and, you know, goes through the transformation, and it comes out a butterfly and it flies, you know, it flies up above all its problems. So You know, we preach a surrender here. We don't tell you a program. We just say, listen, God's going to have a will for your life. It's not the same as mine, not the same as pastors. It's your will for your life, and we just try to find you the God's will for your life. Not our agenda. It's your agenda from God. It's your life from Him. It's your path from Him. And that's all we try to do, is just help you find that path of peace and joy and a life.
Yep. And look, I want to walk with you. You know, I want to walk through life with you. I want to hold your hand, and I want to walk with you. Yep. You know,
like He does with us.
Look, any greater joy I can get is if I can serve and walk with you, because life's going to have challenges and life's going to have situations that you're going to need someone alongside of you.
Yeah.
And I want to be that person to walk alongside of you. And with that being said, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you either Sunday or next week. Amen?
Yep.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.